And we're here on the K&M Podcast. Ken Brown from WGR Radio, Michael Hare, DetroitLions.com, as we talk Lions football. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Ken Brown.
Notice how the tone has gotten a little upbeat more and more each week. All the podcasts are on file there. And go back and get the ones when they're 1-6 and just the sound. Even though I predicted everything that's going on, but just the sound of a podcast and the stuff we can talk about. And when they're actually winning and there's a product that people like, you just have more fun doing it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And also, Kenny, and I can speak to this because I work out at Allen Park, the Lions headquarters. That's where our little office is and all that. And the feeling around the building is it's just different. You know, it really is. It's I'm not saying it was disappointment when they were 1-6. I don't think anybody was quite ready to cash it in or anything like that. And I'm just talking about the people who work here and all that, not just necessarily the coaches and the players and all that. But everything is just, it feels just so different. It really does.
They can leave in the daytime now. You know, they don't have to wait to nightfall and sneak out down the Southfield Freeway. You know, they can actually drive down Ford Road now and be proud.
Well, first call I make is it's not snowing, is it? but you understand what I mean. And I don't want to put too much into it, but it just, it's a different feeling. And, you know, it really is a collaborative effort, you know, among the people who work here, the players, the coaches, the scouts, the front office, ownership and all that. I mean, it all emanates from them and flows in and flows down and into the people, but it flows back when you're winning.
Right.
It really does.
And what did we say from the first time we did this season, Mike? We said, this is a season of progress. We want to see progress. And I think progress passed about 2 weeks ago. Now we're on now we're in a whole different phase, but progress was about when they won their fourth game or maybe the third, really after they had more victories than last year. That's your progress. But go ahead.
And it's not just in numbers either. In other words, I think if I were just not connected with either team and just watched them play for the last 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, I would feel better about the Detroit Lions with their 6-7 record than I would about the Minnesota Vikings at 10-3. I know that may sound ridiculous because, look, I want to win no matter what. Don't get me wrong. But if I was just independently, you know, looking at the teams and what they did and how they played and how they got their record, I'd feel better about how the Lions are playing and where they're headed.
Yeah. You know, we talked yesterday, me and Mike, about this, and you asked me a question after the game. You said, which team do you think is the better team? And last night I told you I still thought Minnesota was the better team. But after a night of reflection and sleep and after I watched the game a little bit, I kind of agree with you now. I think the Lions are a better team than Minnesota. Minnesota has a couple of things the Lions don't have. But as an overall team, I do think the Lions are a better team. Now, Minnesota, like I said, by their point differential, you can tell they're like the Lions were that season where Marinelli was there and they finished 6-2 in the first half. There was a lot of games that even though the statistics didn't prove it out, they won the games, but it didn't last. And that's the feeling I get with this Minnesota team. They're 10-2 at this time yesterday, but it wasn't going to last, and it still might not last. I just think there's some flaws in that team. They've been good in the right place and have been very fortunate this up to now.
Yeah, look, they've got a tremendous wide receiver in Justin Jefferson. I mean, he might be top three, top four in the league. But also, when you get up to that group of the top, you know, 4, 5, or 6, they're all the same. They just might do it a little different way here and there, and you take any one of them. But I don't see, you know, Dalvin Cook it has been good, and I put the emphasis on has been because I don't think he is a has been. He has been good. But the Lions handled him yesterday. I mean, just absolutely handled. What do you have, 15 carries, 23
yards? 23 yards, right, yeah.
Or 23 yards.
Yeah, that was
Alexander Mattison had one carry for -2. I mean, he held him to, what, 21 yards rushing? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. The thing also about it is that it wasn't the Lions' best game. Well, we'll get into the game in a minute. I just want to go through this part. We'll get into the game part of it in a minute because a lot of things happened. But that's another thing we were talking about. I think we were talking about this before Sunday. I think we were talking about this last Friday or whatever, about how big games are. Last week against the Jacksonville, you said this is a defining game for the season. They won it.
Not for the team necessarily.
For the season. They won it.
Yes.
to me,
and won it 40-14.
To me, yesterday was a defining game for Dan Campbell's program. I think that if there was any doubt left, could he prepare a team to win a big game? I mean, a division big, a big game. Jacksonville wasn't a big game. It was a game against a team you should beat, and you did it, and you did it resoundingly.
Well, it's a big game because they can't afford a slip up,
right.
And they were coming off a big game to themselves, and that's what added into it, Kenny. And
right.
Also,
but yesterday,
look what happened yesterday.
Yeah, but see, yesterday was a game. If you're trying to get back in it, you got to win. It's a game.
Absolutely.
So this game meant more than the Jacksonville game. I guess they all build up to another, you know, week to week. But I'm just saying, if the Lions would have lost yesterday, nobody would have came out of the game saying, oh, man, same old Lions. No, they would just say, man, those are the games you have to win to take the next step. But they would have understood a loss because it was a 10-2 team. But once you pass that barrier now, you took a 10-2 team in your place, and you beat them. The game was 8-point game, whatever it was at the end, but you beat them. You know, you beat them and beat them good. So now
the game was 34-23. Not exactly what I predicted it to be, but very, very close, of course.
Right. And the last, you know, they had some breakdowns in the secondary at the, what was your score? I think I was 31-17 when I was something like that. I forgot what yours was.
Mine was 30-16.
30-16, yeah. So, you know, yeah. Within the realm. But just the way the game played out, I just think that this was another hurdle. And this might be the last hurdle. Well, you know what? As soon as I say this is the last hurdle, now you got another hurdle this week. This is like three. So these are like the, I don't know if you ever saw that Quentin Tarantino movie where they had the layers of floors you had to go up. Now Kill Bill, and you had to go up the floors, and each level was a different test. This is like the third week in a row. Now, this test is to go on the road against a good team that's playoff bound. You both are fighting for that playoff spot and get a victory. So this is another test this week. But you passed the first two tests. Now you're in the test three.
Well, and the New York Jets, you know, I think they're starting to unravel. And they've got quarterback issues, quarterback injuries. But they have a terrific defense. And they can look, when they hit hard, and they can cause turnovers. One thing the Lions have done in this stretch, where they've won five games, you know, five out of six. Or is it six out of six? It's five out of six. They're on the cusp now. They're in the race now. They really are. They're in the race. If they win out, it would be very hard for them to miss the playoffs. It really would. But you know, they put themselves in this spot, and now every week is another test. And you know what? That's the way it's supposed to be. It really is. You know, look, back in the days when it was a 12-14 game schedule, and before it got to 16 and now 17, the line was you've got to win in December to make the playoffs. Well, now you got to win in December and January. But it's the same concept. Late in the season, everything counts more. It really does.
Right. Well, okay. You got the good stuff out the way. Now, as always, I got to get to the bad stuff now because a couple things pissed me off. Number one, I hate Adam Thielen. He's a whiner on every play, and I just – good player. No doubt about a good player. But he whines every play. He's held every play. He's in the ref's face every play. He is my most disliked, I want to say, NFC player. There might be a couple in the AFC I don't like. But he's definitely my most despised NFC player. He's just a whiner. And it just showed up all day yesterday. Every play, Mikey wants to flag. And he plays not even throwing to him, he wants to flag. I'm like, come on, man. So that's number one. Glad he lost.
Well, and speaking of flags, you know, the Lions started out, they had five penalties in the first quarter after having only three in the previous two games combined. So there must have been a lot of whining somewhere going on because they only had two the rest of the game.
Right.
They settled down.
Settled into the game. Yeah. Number two, whoever this Jay Williams, the D-back is, well, I never heard of until Jarve Williams, whatever, wherever he went, he needs to go back. That play – the 15-yard play, even though it didn't hurt because they got the first down back after the fake run, he gets this penalty, jaw jabbing on the other side of the field, not even near the play. You don't come up to the squad for the first time and then try that. You know, that just made me upset.
Wait, who are you talking about?
The guy who got the penalty on the fake punt.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Who was a guy I didn't even know was on the squad. He must have been elevated Sunday or Saturday or whatever. Never even knew he was, I never even heard of him before. But you don't come up to the team and then just start jaw jabbing. His name is Jair Williams. He's a D-back. He played 14 special team snaps today. Whoever, that's my point. You don't even get the, if you don't even, people don't even know you are, then you just keep your mouth shut on the field. You know, Mike, it was away from the play on the other side. You can't come up here. These guys been playing for 14 weeks or whatever, then you come up here and try to mess up stuff. So just whoever you are, good luck in the future, okay? Whatever you are. I never even heard of the guy. When his name came up on the scoreboard, on the screen at Ford Field, I'm looking at my roster. Me and I was with Dan Dickerson yesterday. We're looking on the roster. Who is this guy?
Well, I was looking at the play-by-play and the fact sheets and all that other stuff this morning, and I look at Jamal Williams did a lot. I didn't realize he was doing all that.
Yeah, definitely.
And then I saw the J.A. versus the J.R.
Right, the J.R., right. That's exactly. And like I said, they snuck him on the roster. I don't even know where he came from. And number three, we still got that problem in right guard. Now, Stenberg. I don't know why I keep saying Stenberg. Stenberg.
Kenny, if you're going to trash a guy, at least get his name.
I know, I should get his name. I'm not going to trash him because, look, he's the last guard on the team. He's been inactive a lot of weeks. He's been benched and he was star. So I'm not going to trash him. I'm just saying we need enough. He's got to either up his game or he got to come out of there, or they got to get somebody else because.
Well, he might be what he is now. You don't know. Maybe he has upped his game, and that's how he's got out.
Then we gotta take matters in our own hands because he's unacceptable out there right now. And the point of the matter, they haven't run the ball good the last couple of weeks, and I want to get back to that good running style. And I think part of it is that position.
Well, it's part of it, but yeah, that's look. They've run into a couple of. Supposedly, apparently, pretty good run defenses. I guess I don't know.
We're talking about
teams that the Lions have played. Let's not forget the game where they went to New Jersey and beat the 7-2 New York Giants, who turned out to be not all that. Let's face it, they are what they are, and they aren't what they are, what they think they are. But that was a big win at the time. It really was, especially the way they shut down Saquon Barkley.
Yeah. All these wins have some significance to them, and I agree with you. And you're going back to New Jersey, you're going back to the same place this week. You can go trip for the sweep, you know, the season sweep of the Meadowlands. Just go back and get both games out of there. So,
I don't think they call it the Meadowlands.
What do they call it now?
MetLife Stadium.
MetLife Stadium. Go and get two out of there. Go get two out of there.
Yeah. Well, that would be great. It really would. But I'll tell you what, don't sleep on Carolina Panthers. They've got good players.
Now, wait a minute. Worse than don't sleep on them. You know where they are in the division race?
They're in it. They're
one game behind because the Tampa Bay's so terrible. They're 6-7. And I think Carolina's 4-8 or whatever. They're like one game behind. So they're playing for a division. Matter of fact, they could have a losing record and win the division.
Well, that happens more than you think. You know, teams go 7-8-1, 7-9, something like that, 7-9-1. But they never get in as a wild card with that record. But you can get in. Yeah. You can get a division berth. And I know that a lot of people want to scream and change the rules. Leave them alone. They've been working fine for 100 years.
And I don't think the Lions are going to overlook any team because they got to win them all.
No.
They got to win them all.
They're not overlooking
any team.
Look, this is a tough game. They knocked out a quarterback yesterday, the white kid for the Jets.
Yeah, white.
I'm thinking, you know, the other way around.
When you say the white kid, the guy's name is white for those for the racial for the people out of the audience not ready to call Al Sharpton. You know, he's saying the guy's name is white.
His name is white, not the white guy.
The white kid.
I'm trying to remember his name.
I was going through every white player in the league right now. Who's he talking about? All right.
Okay, when you got down to three, what did you say?
So, he had to go to the hospital last night after the game. He said it was a rib. But when I hear people go to the hospital, I don't think they're going to play the next week. I don't know if he's going to play this week.
Though.
They say he was okay. They say there was nothing wrong. But I just when I see that, Mike, even if it's like bruised ribs, that could keep you out a week.
Oh, sure it can.
Yeah.
Sure it can.
So I'm not, and I saw the hit. So it wasn't like, you know, it was that just barely tapped. He was like, he got folded like a lawn chair, I'm telling you.
Yeah, he did. Let me just get something off my chest here real quick. You know, I watched that Get Up show on ESPN in the morning. And, you know, that Danny Orlovsky, the guy I've known forever, is on it. He's really good at it. But Mike Greenberg sometimes, he's talking about the white kid who got, he says, he was taken to the hospital in an ambulance. Really? He didn't call a Lyft or Uber or something like that? He's taken to the hospital because the ambulances are on site.
Right,
there.
Right. It's like the transportation to take him. Right?
Come on. No, my bus hasn't stopped yet, Coach. I'll be there as soon as I can. Can you hold the plane for me?
Right.
Come on, Greenberg.
Now, the big injury, though, for this week that will really hurt the Jets, and I'm hoping he's out, was the Williams kid, the defensive tackle. He went out with a calf injury in the second quarter.
Yeah.
Now, him missing a week, I'm fine with that, too. That's okay by me because that kid is one of the best tackles in the league.
You'll sneak into his room and kick him in the
back. Yeah, I'm making him walk stairs. I'm doing all types of stuff to get that calf fired up before Sunday. But this is going to be a great match this week. You got any last talk about the Minnesota game? You want to talk with Jameson Williams catching the first touchdown? I thought that was just apropos. Even though it was a blown coverage, get it out the way, man. First catch, touchdown. That reminds me of Matt Ryan and when they played the Lions back in 2007. His first pass was a touchdown pass against the Lions. I will never forget that.
I will never forget that. 2008. They scored on their first three possessions, 21-0. And you know what? I think they were in the power rankings at the start of the season, power rankings, because they were terrible. They were terrible the year before. They were 30th in the league.
Wow.
30th.
Wow.
In the league. I think it was an ESPN. I'll never forget that. And he come out and they just smoked the Lions, of course.
And that started.
They smoked 15 more.
I was about to say, that started them on the way to getting smoked weekly, a weekly smoking. I was happy for Jameson Williams to get it out the way.
Sure.
He only played, I looked at the thing, he played a few more snaps. He only played like 13 snaps, I think. Oh, let me look at this.
Look, let him.
Yeah, 13 snaps.
Yeah. Let him get grooved into the game. Okay?
The way Chalk and everybody else is playing now, you can bring him along slow. It's not like a couple weeks ago when the receivers were hurt, you needed him, but he wasn't there. Now you can just bring him along slow because all these guys are healthy now and they're contributing. And I want to see Swift get more involved. I saw a couple plays yesterday he made guys miss. He was in there. And it looks like Jamal Williams is tiring out a little too. So I want to see Swift's workload as a running back pick up.
Well, interesting you would bring that up because I looked at those play charts and all that, snap counts. And the Lions really have the ultimate right now rotation at running back. 26 snaps for Jamal Williams, 25 for DeAndre Swift, and 20 for Justin Jackson. That's pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty good, spreading it out. Always have somebody fresh. Now, each one are a little bit different the way they play, but I'd say Swift by far the most versatile of those three. But they even got Amon-Ra St. Brown in there for one running play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the offense to me, and we're going to talk about Jared Goff in a minute, but the offense to me is really humming right now. I mean, it's doing good. It has breakdowns in a few different areas every now and then, but for the most part, I mean, you're putting up 30 points a game. You're scoring, and you're really playing. It looks good out there.
Well, yeah, look at their last two wins. 34-23, 40-14. Those are big. Those are big time stats you're putting up in it. Look, this isn't college football. This is the pros. You're putting up some big numbers week in and week out.
Week in and week out. And look how many Jacksonville put up on Tennessee yesterday. So, a team that you held to 14, what'd they get up? What'd they score, 34 yesterday?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
in the 30s. So, and won. And Trevor Lawrence was impressive. So, you're playing, like I said, you're playing teams that are some of these bad teams are starting to get good now when you're playing them, and some of the teams that are already good are still staying good. So, you got to play every game as what it is. And this week, to me, is going to be a big game. Before we get to the next week, though, I want to talk about two more things. Penny Sewell catching the pass. You gotta love that play.
He is really – he's a tremendous player, and he's a tremendous athlete. I asked one of the offensive linemen about – no, I'm sorry. It was Aiden Hutchinson. Somebody asked him about it. I was just, on the fringe of that scrum listening to him, and he said, "That man is not of this earth." And, Aiden Hutchinson goes against the defensive offensive tackles every day in practice. He would know.
And the thing about it, Mike, you look at him and you see him in the mix with all the other guys. You're like, he's normal size. He's 6'2", 300 pounds. You look at him. Then when you realize how big he is as he gets to, he's 6'5", like 330. and nimble.
Yeah, he is. He's very, very agile. He really is.
I saw a stat. I don't know if you saw it today. Taylor Decker hasn't given up a pressure in the last 3 weeks. And in the last 9 weeks, I think, don't quote me on this part of it, Sewell has given up 5 pressures all year, or in the last 9 weeks, something like that. 5 pressures. Right. I didn't say sacks. We talking about 3 pressures on the other side with no sacks, and 5 pressures or 9 pressure, 5 pressures in the last 9 games for Sewell, or 5 pressures all year or something like that. But, I mean, when your corner, your ends are not letting your quarterback even sniff guys, I mean, that makes Jared Goff comfortable in that pocket. And when Jared Goff is comfortable in the pocket, man, he's a Ginsu, man. He's precision.
Well, one thing about him, he's accurate. And to get back to Penny Sewell and Taylor Decker, it was just 15 months ago when, you know, Decker was out with a severe hand injury, finger injury, whatever it was. You know, Penny Sewell, as a rookie, was moving from right tackle, where the Lions were going to play him, to left tackle, where he played in college. And is this going to ruin him? Is this going to affect his career? Is this going to, you know, this, that, and the other thing? Look at it. They got maybe the best tackle tandem in the National Football League, with Decker back at left tackle and Sewell back at right tackle.
Now, add another piece into that. They got the best left tackle center duel in the league. Because Ragnar, I saw that his thing, he hasn't given up a sack in, you know, this year, I think they said, or something. I'm gonna repeat the statistics, but just they're all three. And Jonah Jackson, who might be one of the better guards in the league. 4 of the 5 spots are solid. It's a solid line. Just got to take care of that one spot since Big V is out. And that's the key to this team to me on offense.
Well, I think it is, too, because you get a chance to run your offense. And, you know, I was reading something NBC sent out last night. I'm on that quote sheet I get, and I'm sure when I say I get it, it's not exclusive to me. I'm sure there's hundreds of other guys in the media who get that, too. And they were just raving about the way the Lions offense is put together. They really are, about how you can throw high-pressure passes down the middle and a very creative running game. You don't often hear creative and running game together, but you know what the Lions have been able to do and since really the middle of last season, when Dan Campbell made the change in coordinators and play calling and all of that. He took over the play calling, but that was just for the rest of that season. That really paid off. That paid dividends right then for the rest of that season, for the last 9 games, and going forward to this season and beyond.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, Ben Johnson, who, if this keeps up, might not be here past this year, but that's okay. You hope, make it hard for him, for a team not to take him. I mean, just do your job, and if you do your job and they win the rest of these games, I'm telling you right now, they're going to want a piece of. But
no, absolutely. Now, yeah, absolutely.
When do you make the decision on Goff? Is he the guy going forward? Has the decision been made in your mind? Or do we just let it play out?
Well, number one, it's been made in my mind, and we let it play out. He's got 2 years after this left on his contract at what in the National Football League is a very cheap rate for a, I'd say, I wouldn't call him the top level, but the second tier of quarterbacks. You know, these guys are going to get 35, 40 mil. Really, he's underpaid according to the standards that's been set by others. You know, guys who haven't accomplished as much as he has are getting 35, 40, 50 million.
Yeah. I put it like this. It's no question in my mind now that he's back next year. But I still say you got to take a quarterback to groom, because you need a backup. And since he's 28, a young 21-year-old would be good to get a nice young quarterback to groom. So I don't have a problem with him taking a quarterback, but I'm not coming back in next year with a rookie to try to win games. You know, your team is set.
What are you going to do? You're
going to put him back on the bench.
Quarterback, what are you going to do, draft a 26-year-old, a 30-year-old?
I hate to tell you this, but there's like 2 quarterbacks in the draft that are in college I like 25 years old. Hayden Hooker and that other guy, the guy from Stetson Bennett. I mean, there are 25-year-old seniors now. And you laughed about this, but because of the COVID year, these guys getting 6 years in school, there's a lot of older quarterbacks now coming in out of the draft.
Well, a year of COVID doesn't do much for me, in all honesty. It doesn't, you know, look, I'm not downplaying the COVID part of it. but that doesn't do much for me in terms of them advancing their skill level or anything.
No, no,
like
I'm just saying that gave them an extra year of eligibility. They all got to stay. I think that Hayden Hooker from Tennessee, it's like his sixth year in college. Stetson Bennett's been – he was in college probably when Stafford was there, as old as he is. I mean, it's just – you know, these guys are staying. And like I said, you can draft an older quarterback or draft a young one, but I'd like to see him draft a young quarterback. Perfect for me last year was you that took Malik Willis and just put him on the bench for like three or four years. That would have been perfect this way. You don't even have to talk about it anymore. But that's just for something to have because you're going to need two quarterbacks in this league because every now and then a quarterback's going to miss a game regardless. And you see some of these teams that – look what happened to San Francisco. They're down to like their third guy now, and this guy comes out of nowhere and plays good, this Purdy guy. You never, right. I never heard of him. I know he went to Iowa State, but I never heard of him.
No, I had neither, honestly. And you know what? I'd still have to write his name down somewhere so I could look at it every once in a while to remember who he is.
But when the time came for him to win a game, he came out and performed. And that's the kind of thing you got to have because you never know.
Well, you know, some of that's coaching, too. And that's yep. Shanahan there is a heck of a coach. He really is.
I don't know what that says about Jimmy G if this guy is playing like this. Now, I got to revamp it. Is it Shanahan? Is it Jimmy G? Is it Shanahan now?
Well, it's a game and a half. Let's calm down a little bit.
I know, but Mike, the last player picked in the draft, he starts and wins games? I mean, regardless of what it is.
Hold it. Is it really any different between the last player drafted at quarterback and a guy taken in the middle of the sixth round? Not really.
Are we talking Tom Brady? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, that type of thing.
Okay. But Tom Brady didn't start his first year. And we saw that game in Detroit when he came out, how he looked.
He was 1-for-3.
Right.
He was 1-for-3.
This kid is winning games, Mike.
I get it. Yeah, I get it.
Okay. Don't get excited now. Don't get excited now.
You know, this is like one of our phone calls, minus the swearing.
I know.
I'll just pay. You know what? I'll defer.
Yeah. Okay? But I'm just saying, I like these stories. I like stories like that. I do like stories.
You know what,
like that.
I do like this. If I'm drafting a quarterback, I want somebody who can move.
Yeah,
I want a guy with movement.
Definitely. All right. So now I watched Football Night America, and Steve Kornacki was on with the percentage and whatever. The Lions were a 17% chance of making the playoffs. Now they moved up, and they'll move up and keep going. But just keep winning games because Carolina won, which was a good move. Seattle lost. Minnesota and Washington played this week, so. I still think that the last playoff spot will be a 9-win playoff spot. I do think that.
Well,
I just think it's going to happen. I know.
It can be. I think it's going to be harder. I think it's going to be harder with a 17-game schedule than it used to be. But I went back when the Lions started this run. I went back and looked at the last team in for the last 5 years, and there was a 10, there was a 9, and there was an 8. And that's a wild card. Now, I'm not talking about division titles, because division titles, you can get in with 7 like every five or eight years or something like that.
Right.
But there was one 8-win team, and it was the Chicago Bears at 8-8, made it as a wild card.
Yeah.
And I'll go back even further, though, back to 1999, the Lions and the Dallas Cowboys both got in as wild cards at 9-9. That was amazing.
Not 9-9.
Two of them. I mean, 8-8.
Yeah,
8-8.
That was when they played.
They let you keep playing until you're in.
That was the year they played Washington.
And you know what? And they both got slaughtered in
right.
the playoffs.
That was the year they got slaughtered by Washington. I remember that.
Again, yeah.
Yeah. And another thing Steve Kornacki said last night was that last year a team that was 6-7 at this time ended up in the playoffs. He said, so it's happened. Last year, he said, I forgot how many years in a row he said it's happened, but he said, being 6-7 at this point, there's a team that always makes the playoffs.
Well, look at this. The Cincinnati Bengals were one game better than that, 7-7, and they won their division and made it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so it could happen.
And I'll give you one more, too, folks out there. 1995, the Detroit Lions were 3-6 after a road loss to the Atlanta Falcons. And in the locker room after the game, the owner, the late William Clay Ford, told the three or four writers just happened to be talking to him. Kurt Sylvester was one of them. I was one of them, of course. And he said if the Lions didn't make the playoffs, he was going to fire Wayne Fonts. They won 6 straight, made the playoffs at 10-6.
Yep.
Six
sure
straight.
Sure
and blew people away, too.
Sure did.
I mean, just just powered them.
Yep.
They never should have been 3-6. They never. They had a roster full of Pro Bowl players, a couple of All Pros, Barry Sanders, Herman Moore, Lomas Brown, on and on. Chris Spielman.
We got it. We got it. We got it.
Stop.
We got it. We got it. We got it. I saw Brad Holmes for a second. I talked to him for a second yesterday. Nothing, you know, just high and by stuff. But I talked to him for a second upstairs in the press box yesterday, and I just felt a bunch of relief on his face. He didn't say it, but I felt it for him, and I just think that he sees now his plan is coming into place.
Well, that too, and here's another thing too. And look, he and Dan Campbell came in together. Now I don't know how much they knew each other before they came here, you know, if they even heard of each other. Well, I'm sure he would know. He would hear of Dan Campbell. Not sure that Dan would know who the personnel director of the Rams was, but I don't think there could be anything worse than, for example, than a new general manager 2 years into his job, thinking he's given the head coach good players and they can't win. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I got you. Mm-hmm. You're right.
Yeah, I think that would be an awful feeling, because then all of a sudden he's going to start, you know, he's going to hear all that stuff on the radio about it's time to fire the coach. You can't, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. It wears on you. It's hard to ignore it. You really can't. You're just sort of inundated with it. But to be sitting there with a team that's losing and you think you have good players would be just, I think, would be an awful spot for a first-year or first-time general manager to be in. Thankfully, that has not, on their behalf, thankfully, that is not what's happened. They are getting better.
Yeah, and just remember,
they're already better.
They're still the third youngest team in the league, and like I said, they're ahead of where I thought they would be now. I said at the beginning of the season, I thought they'd win 8 games. I thought they would be competitive, and then next year would be the year they make them. But they're ahead of that game.
If they go 500, you know, play 500 ball out, that's 8 wins.
Yeah, but I didn't think they would be battling for a playoff spot in December. I just thought that 8 wins would be like they'd win the last 2 to get to 8, and they'd be just competitive all season. They are in contention. I did not see this coming. Now, I don't know if it's the rest of the league is mediocre to that point or they're overachieved to that point, but they're in it. I mean, they're in it now. So now you can see this is the best thing could ever happen. Forget about a draft pick and losing them all to get some guy from Botucket State. Right now, you are going to be able to see what players are going to be there for you. You're going to see, like the Jameer Williams guy from yesterday. We see what he would do in a pressure situation to just come up. He'd get penalized on something stupid. So we already know. We done put the check by his name. We saw the other week Austin Bryant make a stupid penalty at the end of a game that was a crucial spot. We saw that, right? Yeah. We put a check mark. So you see these things. Then you see guys who make big plays like Amon St. Brown. Okay, I can put a check mark. This guy's in the clutch. He's making big plays. I don't have to worry about him. This is better than any draft pick you could get. You're getting experience.
Yeah, absolutely. But and also, just think about this. You know, a fourth-round pick is doing this. You got a third-round pick is a starting safety. Got a fifth and sixth round draft picks are starting linebackers, or at least playing significant snap counts for you. So they've really hit it with the lower ranked draft picks.
Yep. And another thing, well, we'll talk about the end of the season when it comes, but they'll have money to add actual veteran players coming up in the. Coming up in the free agency. So you'll have some veterans next year along with young players getting better. This is the perfect guy. You don't really have a bad contract that's going to enable you from getting players. So they're in a perfect spot. They've managed the cap good enough now. They went through the year where they couldn't sign a lot of guys because of the cap. Now they got that dead money coming off. This team should be improving from this point. But injuries in football can happen and that could derail things. But I'm just saying, if it keeps on this path, this is what you want to see. And now it's on to the Jets, Michael, here.
Yes, it will. Yes, it is. And I think it's going to be a tough game. Part of it could be the weather there in New Jersey that was an issue in yesterday's game and there. And just like I said, just one of the really, really good defenses in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. So got a lot of thinking to do before we
– Well, we'll talk about that on Friday. We'll talk about that on Friday. But before I do go, the last thing I want to say is the fans yesterday were incredible. Yeah. Mike, remember what did I tell you when I came? I came up before the game, we were talking, And I said, I walked over from CompuAir, and I said, what did I tell you on the way over?
Yeah.
I said, these guys are ready now. They're coming in. They were in their seats before the game started, which is rare sometimes because, you know, guys fill in the first quarter. They were in their seats ready when that ball was kicked off. When Romeo Okorah came out, they introduced him last.
Yeah.
That crowd was just – it was on fire.
What do you think of the backflip of
– He does that every week. And like I said, the moment he does one of those and gets hurt and can't play, then we're going to stop that. But right now, go ahead and do it. But, you know, when you sprain something doing that backflip one time, I guess he's good at it, so maybe he won't sprain anything. But, you know, I would like, okay, take it down a little bit, man. We're playing.
Let's put it this way. I wish I could do what Kirby Joseph does.
Oh, please. Please.
It's right. I wish I could do it.
Yeah, in front of two people, let alone 65,000. Please.
Yeah, right. Yeah, one slip.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Well, look, we had a linebacker, 10 years ago, celebrated a play here in a game and hurt his knee and missed the rest of the season.
Yeah. And the one thing, though, there'll never be another one. The greatest entrance I ever saw was Billy Sims goose-stepping 50 yards from the Silverdome on the Monday night game against Minnesota, I think it was. He goose-stepped all down the tunnel and all out to the field. That was the greatest entrance I have ever seen in the history of Lions football.
You're leaving something out, the little lion that was going right beside him.
That's right. I forgot
remember
about that? The little – that's right.
Remember that?
The lion was going with him. That's right. So,
that was cool.
that was excitement.
And Billy is eye to eye with the mascot.
Yep.
Going right down. that was great.
That was excitement. All right, Mike. So we'll see you Friday for our game time. The 6-7 Lions are back in it, and we'll see what happens this week in practice. And I just think that it's exciting times. Every game now is a playoff game, and every game, every play in every game means something. So this is what you guys asked for the last 3 years after the Patricia era. You want to see meaningful games in December? Well, here they are. So enjoy every one of them.
Yeah, I was getting tired of those meaningful games in October.
Right, that meaningful September 29th game. Exactly. All right, Mike, so we'll see you out there. Anything else on DetroitLions.com? Check Mike O'Hare out. And Frank Ragnow this afternoon, 5:30 p.m. on the Mitch Albom Show, 760 WJR. Check him out. And we will see you.